genuine pleasure and an honor to welcome to Oklahoma City a close personal friend of Henry's and mine, a man who has been a friend and neighbor to Oklahoma for many years, a man who will be the next Vice President of the United States. There are three good reasons, among many more, why I believe the Republican ticket will be the winning ticket on November 2nd. One is the Republican Party platform, the positive influence of another great Republican, Ronald Reagan, had on this platform, makes it a platform for the people, a platform that responds to their demand for responsibility and restraint in federal government, in contrast to the liberal Democratic platform of more government and more government spending. Another reason, I believe, is the proud and positive record of President Ford, a record of performance, not just promises. And thirdly, is the person who is here today, a colleague of Henry Bellman's and mine in the Senate, a man very familiar with agriculture, serving on the Agricultural Committee, also very familiar with finance and the importance of having a balanced budget because he serves on the Finance Committee, a person very familiar with energy and having a very fine record in voting in favor of those things that will help provide a strong domestic energy policy. In brief, he shares with the American people their vision of a strong and free and prosperous America. And he and I and you agree that militarily we should be number one. My colleague also has a lot of courage, as shown by his willingness to book this visit to Oklahoma right after the OU-Kansas game, not knowing the outcome. Please join me now in welcoming the next Vice President of the United States, Senator Robert Dole from Kansas.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much. Did you all watch the debate on Friday night? I thought it came out about right. I'm very happy to be here with my good friends, Henry Bellman and Dewey Bartlett. We think we reflect the views of most Americans. They reflect those views. I think I reflect those views. That's the kind of leadership we need for America, the kind you have in the Senate from Oklahoma. Now, as far as Saturday's concerned, I was only in charge of the first half of that game. And the last half, KU collapsed. It's about like Carter's campaign. Somebody said, give him hell. Well, I'll try. I don't want Carter tinkering around with your air base, I know that. And I say one thing about America, we're strong and we're at peace because we have the leadership of President Ford. I tried to make a point on Friday night I wanted to talk to the mothers and the fathers and the grandmothers and the grandfathers of young Americans. Because we are at peace in the world, you look around this audience, you don't see many uniforms. You don't see someone about to leave Oklahoma City from some far-off country. We're not involved in some conflict overseas because America's strong and because America's respected. Respected by our friends and respected by our adversaries. And I just ask you the question, what will happen in America if we have the leadership of Governor Carter, who wants to cut $5 to $7 billion from defense, who last year wanted to cut $15 billion from defense? And what we have with Senator Mondale, who's voted against every defense spending program there's been. He's voted for every cut against every new weapon system. And I just say, for the sake of peace, we can be proud of President Ford and proud of President Ford's leadership. And if you have any doubts at all about November 2nd, we're not perfect. President Ford has made mistakes. Nearly everyone in this audience has probably made mistakes. But there's one overriding concern. And I would just hope you'd keep in mind that we are at peace in the world. No shots are being fired in anger. No Americans are coming home with an empty sleeve or an empty leg. None are being buried. And that says a lot for our great country. And that says a lot for President Ford. Now, Senator Mondale was out on the coast yesterday where it was nice and warm, talking about our energy policy. Well, if we voted like he did in the Senate, it'd be this cold everywhere in America. He's voted against every piece of energy legislation that came before the Senate. I'll just cite a few. I don't have much time. He wants price controls on oil and gas. He voted to delay the Alaska pipeline. He wants to break up oil companies, not for any reason, just to break them up. And this is the man who talks about an energy policy yesterday in sunny California. And I just say to the American people, if we're going to have more energy produced, we've got to provide some incentive. Yes, we want to make a profit. We want to provide jobs for Americans. And that's what it's all about. Well, he's talking about his welfare programs and about more and more spending. I'll talk to the working men and women in this country who want progress and who want jobs. And that covers most Americans. And let me say finally, before the heat wave rolls in, now, Dewey and Henry promised me it'd be warm if I came down here. I believe in a strong defense. I believe in a strong energy policy. I believe, as you and Oklahoma believe, we can't spend more than we take in, or we shouldn't spend more than we take in. Must be George Meany. I also believe that organized labor and labor leaders in particular, not the working men and women, should have influence in our government. I don't believe they should dominate our government. I don't believe we want to turn over the White House to George Meany and Leonard Woodcock and other labor leaders. And I said that on Friday night, and I say it again today. Now, someone asked George Meany why he didn't run for president. He said, why step down? Why step down? He controls the Democrat Party, the liberal part of the Democrat Party. And I say to the working men and women in Oklahoma and across this nation, I think most working men and women are concerned about their taxes. They're concerned about spending. They don't want gun control. I don't think you want gun control. That's in the Democrat platform. You don't want more spending programs. They have 65 of those in the Democrat platform. So I think most Americans agree. We're concerned about a free America. We're concerned about a prosperous America. And I just say, for the sake of America and for the sake of the free world, do what you can between now and November 2nd for President Ford. Now, I figured out, and don't worry about me, because I figured out if Ford makes it, I'm going to make it. So, and I am your neighbor. But don't pay any attention to that. Pay attention to the fact that I'm your philosophical neighbor. I represent the conservative to moderate view in America. I think that reflects the views of most people in this audience. But if you want a liberal choice, if you want more government, more spending, more interference, more control, and the most liberal ticket ever produced in America, you've got it in Carter and Mondale. So thanks very much for coming. Let's all go to work for the best of America and the best for America, President Gerald R. Ford. Thank you very much.
Thousands braved the cold today at Liberty Plaza in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, to hear Senator Robert Dole speak on the issues. With Senator Dole on the campaign trail, this is Sue Mathis reporting for the...
Great Senator from Kansas, the Honorable Bob Dole.
That last one. I have a little pineapple juice here. It's a lot better for you than peanut butter. It doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth. Say, first of all, very sincerely, I'm very pleased to be here. It's the warmest I've been all day. And it's a a very warm reception, and I know I... Maybe you're getting out of class, but I'm very pleased to see so many, many here, so many young Republicans, so many independents, some Democrats, and some who just came to the wrong meeting, but we're happy you're here. What this country needs the next 2 weeks is about 10 million peanut shellers, and we're looking for peanut shellers. We're looking for people, young people, middle-aged people, old Americans, concerned about the fate of this country, concerned about the direction we're going to take for the next 4 years. And that's why I'm very pleased to be here and pleased to be with my colleagues in the Senate, Senator Bartlett and Senator Bellman. I think we pretty much reflect the views of most Americans. I don't suggest that our philosophy will attract everyone in America. I don't suggest that my views on the issues or Henry's or Dewey's are necessarily every view of ours is every view of yours. But I do suggest that on balance, if you look at all of our record and take a balanced view and a balanced look at the record, you'll find that we're pretty much in tune with the goals and aspiration of most Americans. Now, there's been a great deal of talk in the past weeks, not partisan talk, but speculation that many Americans would not vote, that many Americans were disturbed, some were apathetic, some were turned off by the candidates in both parties, and some just didn't care. But I hope, and I trust that nearly everyone in this room hopes and understands and believes that it's important to participate in politics, and I would hope that everyone in this audience, we'd like you to vote for us, but I hope beyond that you participate and you make your voice heard on election day, and let me tell you how I think you should make that voice heard. And I understand there's some here for Governor Carter, and I think in every audience this side there ought to be a half a dozen for Governor Carter. Cold. I picked up a cold before the debate, and then I had to stand next to a draft for 75 minutes. So, and just sort of blowing hot and cold there, but. I really enjoyed, it really wasn't a debate, it was sort of a stand-up joint press conference where we both, I think, made points we wanted to make. And I kept saying throughout the debate that Senator Mondale was my friend. I said that so often I began to believe it before the program was over. But I do believe it, and I'm serious about that. We worked together in the Senate. He generally votes yes, and I generally vote no. But we are friends, and that's the good part about America. We can have our differences. We can differ very sharply on philosophy. We can differ very sharply on our goals and objectives. I assume that everyone has the same thing in mind for America and the American people: a better life, a safer life, a peaceful way of life. But I just happen to believe that this time, more than ever, the Republicans have the answer in President Ford. And that's why I'm here, and I trust that's why you're here. I see a lot of good signs out there, too. I'm not going to predict who's going to win the game on Saturday. I understand you have a little contest coming up with and with Dewey from one place and Henry from the other. I know that I wouldn't dare predict the outcome. But I am going to predict the outcome of the election on November 2nd. And I want to visit just a few minutes on why I think President Ford offers the best hope for young Americans, the best hope for all Americans. I've known President Ford for 16 years. Senator Bellman's known him for a long time, so has Senator Bartlett. Many in this room probably know President Ford. He's not a very hard man to get to know. I remember when I first went to the House, one of the first members of Congress who offered a helping hand was Jerry Ford. And I served in the House for 8 years. I was one of those who voted for Jerry Ford for the so-called Republican leadership post, which he won by a landslide of 6 votes. I did that because I had confidence in Jerry Ford and because he was an honest, decent man of integrity who was concerned about younger members of the Congress, who was concerned enough to come back to our districts and travel across America because he believed in our philosophy. And I might say very quickly, our philosophy is not one of opposition. Our philosophy is one of a balanced approach to America's problems. We understand government has a role. We understand the need for some federal programs and some federal assistance in many areas. But we don't understand and we can't comprehend and we'll never believe that the government should have the dominant role when it comes to problems in America, when it comes to solutions to those problems in America. But Jerry Ford was always the same decent, open man of candor. And as a commentator said about 6 weeks ago, whether Jerry Ford or President Ford now loses on November 2nd, or whether he wins on November 2nd, he can say, and those of friends of his can say who've known him over the years, that he's still the same honest, decent, open man of candor who has the competence and the confidence that America respects, America loves, America needs. And that says a lot about Jerry Ford. When some people, either in their class or in politics or in their business or in their labor union, assume some position of power or some higher position than their peers, they sometimes have a change of attitude. But I find President Ford very accessible, and I find him to be just the same. And I can say that no one was more surprised than I was when I was selected on August 19th in Kansas City to be his running mate. In fact, there were a lot of lists circulating then. Unless you're on someone's list, you weren't supposed to have a chance anyway. So I started preparing lists and putting my name near the top. But I forgot to send any list to the hotel where the president was, so I thought perhaps any chance I might have had had gone down the drain. But early that morning, on the 19th of August, the commentators were saying it was down to 4 names. One was Anne Armstrong, an outstanding lady, but she was over in Scotland, and whoever was chosen had to be in Kansas City by noon, and I didn't think she could make it, so I scratched her name off the list. Another name was Bill Ruckelshaus, an outstanding man from the state of Indiana who has a great record of public service. But he was off in Tacoma, Washington that morning. And besides, I thought his name was a little long for a button, so I scratched him off. That left Senator Baker and Senator Dole, and I told my wife, Elizabeth, if they don't go in an alphabetical order, I think I've got a chance. Well, shortly after that, the press started gathering in the hallway at the Muehlbach Hotel on the 17th floor. And our room was right next to the suite occupied by Governor Connally. And I just assumed that all the press was coming up there, getting ready to catch Governor Connally on the way out and say, "Are you the one?" And he'd deny it and so forth. But after a while, I told Elizabeth, I said, "Elizabeth, go put your ear to the door and see what they're saying out there." That's legal in Kansas City if you listen from the inside out. It's just where it's the other... And she did, and she heard the name Dole mentioned. So I started to prepare myself just in case whoever was mentioning the name might be accurate. but as a precautionary measure, as any good student would do, when the phone did ring and the president was on the line, I said yes before I identified myself, thinking he might have gotten my number by mistake and really meant to call Governor Connally. So that's really how it happened. And we've been on the road ever since that time. On the road because I believe in President Ford. Now, Senator Bellman referred to my service in World War II, and I'll tell you a story about that. I'm not going to dwell on that, but when I first went to Congress, he used to send me to very safe districts, either safe Republican or safe Democrat, where I couldn't do any damage. And I remember going to Indiana one night. I arrived there on a Saturday afternoon for a fundraising event. I got off the plane. The county chairman rushed up to me and said, you know, the advance ticket sale has already reached 10. And he was very distressed. He thought he had a disaster on his hands, and the name was Bob Dole. So he rushed me out to the radio station, trying to drum up a crowd, and I was interviewed at length. And as I left the radio station to go back to town, the announcer was saying that Congressman Bob, I think he said Doyle, he didn't know my name too well, Congressman Bob Doyle will speak tonight. Price, I think they lowered the price of the tickets and did everything else I could think of. He said he was born in Kansas, raised in Kansas, and all those other necessary things. He said prior to World War II, he was a pre-medical student. He suffered a serious head injury in the war and then went into politics. I don't know how you got where you are, but I know how I got where I am, and that's sort of the moral of that story. But there's more to it than that, and I want to spend just a moment or two on a very, I think, serious to young people, serious to anyone in America. I think the most important, not issue in this campaign, because I don't think it is an issue, but I would guess the most important consideration, if I were sitting there and 18 or 19 or 20 years of age, and I was a young man or a young woman, I'd think a lot about peace in the world and our strength as a nation and the fact that you're not about to be rushed off or your schooling interrupted or your education somehow curtailed or shortened or misdirected because of some armed conflict or because of some effort to step up the military, increase the numbers in the service. It's been quite a while, you know, since that's happened in any presidential election year. And I say that it's very important, yes, to young men and women and to their parents and to their grandparents and to their friends. It's also important to the free world. And despite what Governor Carter says, he says we're a weak nation. He says we're not respected anymore. I don't share that view. I think we're a very strong nation. We're strong morally. We're strong militarily, but we're strong just for one reason. We're strong because we want peace in the world. We don't want our young men or anyone else being involved in an armed conflict in some far-off country where we didn't know what the issue was, didn't want to win, and didn't know how to get out. And I say much of that credit. Oh, yes, credit for being militarily strong for the sake of peace. Credit for being respected by our friends and by our allies. Credit for being respected, yes, by our adversaries, by those who would seek power and seek advantage. They respect us because they understand our leadership in America. They understand President Ford. They know that this year, for the first time in 10 years, we've added real growth to the defense budget, not just to spend money for defense, but because President Ford feels strongly about peace. And whether we like it or not, it's not just my generation, it's going to be your generation and succeeding generations. We are the leader of the free world. We have that extra responsibility. And the world looks to us for leadership. They look to Senator Bartlett and Senator Bellman and Senator Dole and Mayor Pat, and everyone else who's involved in the American system for leadership. But tomorrow we're going to be gone. And they're going to be looking to your generation for leadership. And I just say we should think very carefully. And I know for a fact, and Senator Bellman knows for a fact, we're both on the budget committee, how hard and how persuasive and how diligent President Ford was on a personal basis to strengthen our defense budget. Now, I know it's easy to say, well, let's take it out of defense. We don't need that weapon system. We don't need the B-1 bomber. We don't need this. We hope we don't. We hope the day may come when we can live in peace and channel those billions and billions of dollars into other programs, social programs, retire the national debt. But until we reach some agreement, and we're working now on some agreement to hold down the arms race, and again, President Ford is providing the leadership, but until that day comes, we have an obligation to you and to others who disagree to be strong. Because I just can't bring myself to believe that we can sit down with the Russians and say to the Russians, with any real feeling or with any real hope, that we want to do this and we want to do that if we're dealing from a position of weakness. I think we have to maintain our position as number one in the world for the sake of peace. I don't want to be number two in the world.